Whatever job you need to do out there, grab the right tool to get it done. The new F-150, with an available hybrid engine and up to 7.2 kilowatts of pro power on board to power things on the go. It's not a tool you'll hang in a tool shed, but you can certainly use it to build one. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150.
Available starting early 2024. Optional features see owner's manual for important operating instructions.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one very, very special guest.
Captain.
Welcome, Matt Holloway, to the podcast.
I wasn't sure if he was going to be like chef or captain.
Well, two girls, one sailor.
Well, what really trying to figure out is if there's like a G word that we could use, you know, two girls, one ginger. Like what
I hit the alliteration. Okay.
Yeah, how do we have like a nice alliteration that flows off the tongue that when you are a guest, it's just everybody knows.
Matt,
two gals,
I don't know. Wait,
one,
we'll have to...
two gals, one gourmand.
There you go.
What's a gourmand?
It's like a foodie. It's just a fancy word for
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Right?
It sounds like a gourd.
Why not?
Which is like kind of
we're
the times.
Like sliding right in a fall.
Yeah.
Seems to work.
Okay. Two girls, one gourmand.
Or honestly, two girls, one gourd.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I mean,
I feel like if anybody is a gourd, though, it's Jared. I feel like he's kind of like gourdy.
I know, but you know what, Jared, you're not here.
He's so not.
Someone's sliding right into that gourd position. And
well,
it's
I
not,
gotta. Yeah. I'm here as a hair stand-in. That yeah. You know, my hair is not as nearly long as his, but we both have nice locks.
Yes.
So, Jared, I know I'm just a stand-in for when he gets back. It's an honor to be here. Thank you all for having me.
You're both going to be regulars. Also, you are growing your hair out. Did Jared inspire the hair grow out?
Yes and no. This is the third time that I've grown my hair out and donated it. So I give it to Wigs for Kids. And
of course
they,
you do.
They make they make wigs for kids. You know, kids. It's in the name.
Wigs for Kids.
My boyfriend making me feel like a bad person since 2020.
Jared's growing his hair out, so I will continue to have sex with him. And Matt is growing his hair out to donate
kids.
But it's also, it's a look, you know? So hanging out with Jerry as much as I do, and he rocks it. So.
And now you guys have like a little hair bond. Like last time we recorded Killing Time with me, Jack, and Jared, I was like, Matt brought this comb for you.
Jared's the best comb
in
the world.
Oh my God, he loves that comb.
That wooden comb?
Yeah. I've been using
it. Nothing better.
What is it for?
Well, you know, sometimes when you get out of the shower, you want to comb your hair with a wide tooth comb so your natural hair pattern can stay.
Oh.
Keep the curls.
Very
and the
waves. Wide.
Yes. I didn't know.
It's got white teeth on it, you know?
Yeah. It was a very nice gift for your fellow guy.
Any guy with long hair, they're getting one of these combs from me. If you're a stranger, I will stop you and just hand you one of these combs.
Okay.
I love it.
I bought like 20 of them. I love them.
Look at you. Fucking anyways. Comb Santa over here.
Matt, are you nervous to be on the podcast? Are you excited? Like, how are you feeling right now?
I'm stoked. I mean, you know, I'm used to doing our own podcast.
Yeah, you guys have your own.
I'm used to a mic in front of my face. I don't mind it. But I am honored to be in y'all's presence.
Thanks.
And your lovely audience. I love all the worsty firsties.
Yeah.
So everyone listening, I know all
today.
The bad shit y'all did.
Yeah.
So. No, now you got to respond.
Yeah.
You got to judge
maybe
everybody.
Maybe you even tell your own story.
Maybe I was that cowboy that called in a while back. I don't know.
The voice is kind of similar.
Honestly.
I mean, if you use like a slight voice translator, or not voice translator, voice
with comparisons.
He
off.
Had, yeah. He had a bit more twang than I. Than my,
I was
my
into
Houston
it.
Accent.
Sexual cowboy.
So, yeah. Sexual cowboy.
Yeah. Didn't his wife call in?
Yeah,
or girlfriend
she was
or
great.
Somebody?
It was a whole saga.
Yeah, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, his wife called. She's fantastic too.
All right. Well, shout out to them.
I know. I wonder what he's doing right now. I hope he's still listening. I hope you're a fan. I feel like we sing like his praises.
I think he is. I think this is the ego boost that he deserves.
It is. Okay, so are we ready to jump into the dark day?
I would love to.
Let's do it.
Okay, so today is October 6th, and on October 6th of 1866, the Reno brothers carry out the first train robbery in U.S. history. And I thought that this was kind of, it's kind of Matt-like. Like, you're a little bit of an outlaw. You're from Texas.
I'm from Texas.
you sound like an outlaw.
People know me. I normally have a knife somewhere on me. It's usually in my boot. I still wear cowboy hats, even though like I live in California and I'm vegan. Like
my boyfriend, everyone.
Yeah,
the most unassuming cowboy ever.
just a gentle cowboy.
So I'm loving this story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're like, what does Matt do? Oh, he donates his hair. He's vegan. Yeah, total cowboy.
That's right.
Okay, so on October 6, 1866, the brothers John and Simeon Reno staged the first train robbery in American history, making off with $13,000, and that is the equivalent of $409,000 today.
That's a not lot. Bad.
From an Ohio and Mississippi Railroad train in Jackson County, Indiana. So trains have been robbed before this, but this is the first time that they robbed a train that was moving. Like before, people would just rob them when they're like in the stations and then they'd get caught because they're like people
like
around.
Runaway train robbery.
But they're the first robbers to stop a moving train in a sparsely populated region so they could carry out their crime without risking law enforcement and all of that shit.
Isn't that what 310 to Yuma was about?
I think so.
I think so too.
What?
I think the 310 to Yuma was the time of the train. It was a 310 to Yuma.
But he was, the story is, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but he was transporting a prisoner who got loose. But I think he was one of the train robbers. People at home, if you're screaming at me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
We say the dumbest shit.
We're like, we're not sure. This is how we remember
been a minute. I only saw the original. I didn't see the remake with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Okay, sorry to interrupt, Jack.
No, it's fine. This is all
we digress.
Good knowledge. But so some criminal gangs like Butch Cassidy's Wild Bunch. Also, I love all of these, the names of all these gangs in the Wild West. The Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
They found that robbing trains was so easy and lucrative that for a time that they made it their criminal specialty. Like that's what a lot of these guys were doing at the time. And as a result of like all of these criminals that are robbing the moving trains, by the late 19th century, train robbery was becoming an increasingly difficult and dangerous profession because they started putting all of their money in safes on certain like boxcars on the trains. And then they would have guards that would have their horses there that they could chase after all these fucking guys and catch them super easily. So it was for a very short period of time that was the thing that everybody was
the criminal
doing.
Enterprise to like get on with it because nobody had adapted to defend themselves.
No,
yet.
They would just be like, oh, the train's moving. There's no law enforcement here.
No.
Like, let me just steal $400,000 and get on with my life.
It's an insane and really brave idea. They're like, I don't know, there's a couple guys sitting around a campfire and they're like, man, we've robbed a lot of trains that have been stopped. Like, yeah, no, it's okay. It's lucrative, you know?
Yeah.
And then they see one drive past and one guy goes, you know, I got an idea. let's go chase that one down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. That's like being a bank robber and you're like, let's rob it when they're open.
They do. They rob the armored trucks, which is super dangerous. Yeah. And to be a driver of those armored trucks is super dangerous.
Oh my God.
That's like a mobile bank. That's exactly what that is.
You ever see like a Brinks truck and you see one of those dudes like walk into like the bank you're in and like everyone gets kind of like, oh,
they're wearing armor and they're fucking armed to the nines. Like that's a serious job.
Yeah.
They get killed all the time. Like I think it's a scary job, but like cash needs to move.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the Woodstock documentary?
No. Uh-uh.
It's so insane.
Really?
It's so fucked up. Yeah. It was beyond anything that I ever thought would happen. But part of like when Woodstock was happening and after all the chaos ensued and all the fires and whatever, a bunch of people were taking the ATMs and like stabbing the ATMs and trying to get knocking them all over. Yeah. And getting all of the cash that was in the ATMs.
That's wild.
It was the Wild West at Woodstock. Okay, well, after we come back from the stand, we're going to learn about some famous outlaws from the Wild West because they were fucking wild. But until then, we got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session. All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we have a person, place, or thing that we bring to the stand that we're loving or we're hating. We talk about it, have a good, healthy discussion, vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram so you can vote on it and let us know what you think. Also, as you know, if you're joining in our Facebook group, everybody is posting their On the Stands there. And you can also call in to our On the Stand hotline if you would like to tell us yours.
That's right. I'm going to give you the number right now. So if you want to call in and give us your On the Stand, again, we use these for Patreon, and we're going to start incorporating them into this episode, which we have done. We have one for you today. But give us a call at 818-446-6889. Tell us what you're defending or prosecuting. Put it on the stand. You might hear yourself here. It's going to be awesome. And if you don't hear yourself here, I'm so sorry to say this, you might be on a Patreon On the Stand episode, because we do entire episodes dedicated to this on our Patreon.
Yeah.
So if you don't hear yourself here, you might be on there.
You might need to join our Patreon. And honestly,
it's worth it.
It's fucking amazing over there.
It is.
Like, come join us. Have
four
a good
more
time.
Episodes a month. Like, come on.
I know. If you're, dude, honestly, I gotta say, there's so many new bad true crime podcasts out
yes.
there. I'm not gonna name any names, but like, there's a lot of bullshit, and I am biased, but I think ours is pretty
the
great.
Best.
And there's more great content over there. And I wish that we could share it with everybody, but, you know, got bills to pay.
Girls gotta eat.
I'll take it a step further. I think there's entirely too many goddamn podcasts out there.
Shut up, Matt. There's everyone, you know what? We implore everyone to start be creative. You just gotta be good.
I say this.
You gotta be good. And honestly, you gotta be consistent. It's very hard to keep a podcast.
You gotta
easy
do
to
it,
start a podcast.
And you gotta do it for free for like 2 years.
Yeah, you're not making any money.
So you just
do it because you love it.
Do it because you love it.
Yeah.
And don't think it's going to be your only job.
Nope.
Because it ain't.
Nope.
Okay. Anyways, who would like to go first? Matt, you said you had one. Ready
and
to
on
go.
On the stand?
Yeah. Do you want to tell
or
us
do you want
what
me
your...
to go first?
Why don't y'all go first and
okay.
I'll see how you play it.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll
that,
go, I'll
that
go
might
first.
Change my on the stand.
I'll go first. So I had one that was inspired by this idea of trains. I kind of ran with that for this episode. So what I am putting on the stand is something that was sort of kind of all over social media a couple years ago. It was a rule enacted, I think, in New York, where you could only bring a dog on a subway or train if it could fit in a bag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you see like people getting really creative with those giant IKEA bags, like putting their huskies in it and carrying it, or like putting their dogs, their like 100-pound dogs in backpacks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want more of this.
Yeah.
So I'm defending big dogs in bags in social situations. Like I want like a husky or Bosley, in fact, in like a giant. But like what they were doing is like in those giant IKEA totes, they were like punching holes in there for the dog's
for the
legs.
Feet. Yeah.
And like just using
it. Well, then the dog was just walking.
Yeah. With the bag around it. Right.
That's cute.
But that's. Can't we have more of this? Like, no dogs allowed unless it fits in a bag. It's like, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I can fit this Mastiff in a bag big enough. Like, they make
throw that Mastiff
honestly,
over your shoulder.
Honestly, like, make a garbage bag toga for this dog.
Yeah.
Like, I will bring it anywhere.
I love it. I think that it is. This is why we love the internet.
Yes.
Is for moments like these.
Yes.
There are many reasons why we hate the internet and why it is destroying humanity, basically.
Yeah.
But these are the times that I'm like, thank God for TikTok and for all these viral things, because it's such a fun thing to watch. And I love it. It reminds me of those parties that people would have that it's like anything but clothes. So people are trying to make a costume out of food
or whatever.
I love it because it was supposed to be a rule to keep dogs off the trains, and now people are just like, see how creative I can get.
Yeah. Working outside the parameters of the law.
Yeah. Loopholes.
Love a loophole.
Loophole is traditional like Slytherin vibes.
Yeah.
And I'm a Slytherin where it's like, I will follow the rules, but I will bend them and I will loophole the shit out of them.
Yeah.
You know? And so that makes you a good person still.
Okay. So I will say.
I guess.
At least in that regard, I would say not guilty. However, I'd say that with an asterisk.
Okay.
Because you know who doesn't want to be in Home Depot at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday? Your Chihuahua.
What does it have to do with the giant
people
bags?
Just want to take the dogs everywhere.
Yes, but
that's
like
it.
We're talking,
and that shit drives
we're talking
me insane.
Only big dogs and big bags.
Sure. You got to get across town. You got to carry your animal with you. They got a vet appointment or something. Like, totally understand. But I'm saying having dogs everywhere all the time. And I say, this is a dog owner and a lover.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much.
I mean, people do bring their dogs everywhere.
Everywhere.
I think you bring your dog everywhere.
No, he doesn't.
Not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
No, you don't bring your dog everywhere.
No.
Some people literally, it's like they're going every place that their owner's going. But I think that that's a big city thing too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that that happens maybe in more of like a suburbia. Oh,
people have yards.
Country folk don't
people
do
have
that.
Yards yeah. everywhere.
Yeah. yeah. But it's like dogs are people's babies and they got to bring them with them all the time. Take care of them 24/7.
And we love them.
Bring them to brunch.
That's right. right.
I'll say this. Better on a train than in your lap while you're driving a car. That's dangerous.
For a big dog, sure.
For a little dog. Any dog.
For a big dog, yeah. That's really dangerous. yeah. For the driver.
I see people with little dogs like where they have their little dog on their shoulder like a parrot as they're driving. Like I've seen it.
Yeah. How is that any like better than texting while driving?
Well, let's be honest, a dog that's just like sitting in a car obviously doesn't have a seatbelt on, like that in itself is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's gonna fly.
It's all chaotic. Yeah,
if something happens.
Totally.
But that's I guess the risk you're willing to take.
Absolutely.
If you're taking your dog with you everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say not guilty.
Not
big
guilty.
Dogs
not
big
guilty.
Bags
not guilty.
Just, you know, asterisk around dogs and travel.
I love
all.
That.
Okay, I'm going to go next. And mine was inspired by one of our lovely firsties on the Facebook group. And it is the concept of not wearing shoes in places that are not the beach and not the pool.
Ooh.
So maybe it is on a train and you decide to take your shoes off. On a plane and you decide to take your shoes off. I don't know, at a restaurant and you just like take those little tootsies out of their shoe.
Lifetime ban. Get out of here with that. If you were taking your shoes off at a restaurant, what a restaurant allows that. Do people do that?
Yes. That I got it from the post in the first degree that somebody was at. I don't know if they were at a restaurant. They
it
were
was,
somewhere.
It was a restaurant. I saw it. It was like a tile floor. It was like a grab and go restaurant, but it was still like.
If you are not at the beach and it's not like a beach grab and go that there's sand
side cafe.
Right there.
Yeah.
I don't want to see your feet. I say this as I don't have shoes on and we're recording our podcast.
We're in the comfort of our office.
We're
family.
We're in the studio.
Yeah.
yeah.
But anywhere in public, I don't want to see your bare feet. And we've talked about this before, like flying with like flip-flops on planes. Like I think that the feet should be covered for the most part anytime you're going anywhere in public.
I would agree with that. The feet should only be seen rarely, and that's at feetfinder.com, folks.
feetfinder.com/badmannersmatt.
Yeah, bad.
God,
yeah.
You know what? I really.
Bad Matt feet. I don't know.
I almost
haven't created it. By the time this airs,
but
I have to create it.
He's going to make it and then promote it as himself. Like, he's going to start talking about it.
I know. And you've inspired me to want to do that too. Well,
I don't know. People seem to be making decent money on it, you know?
Lots of money. And I don't mind it.
I got bills.
It's like
to pay.
I'm not showing my boobs. I'm showing my feet.
Sure.
Like, if somebody wants to pay for that, I also am really upset that my feet aren't on wikifeet.com because...
Are you not on there yet?
No. And
Jared, let's have a conversation. We could tackle this project together. We can get Jack on there.
That's the thing. I need somebody else. But there's so much content. There's so many feet pictures that are on my Instagram that could go on Wikifeet. I'm just a little bit offended. I feel like you really know you've made it as a public figure if you're on Wikifeet.
Wow.
You know?
I want to start taking photos with people and blurring my feet. And then just be like, go
sensor,
to my feet finder.
Put like a black sensor bar over
to
it.
To see the full video, go to feetfinder.com. Yeah.
Like Photoshop a nipple on it and then
even
blur
if I'm
that
wearing
out.
Shoes, just blur them out. Like you got to pixelate it. And
you're not getting this for free, people.
$9.99 a month. You get unlimited feet access.
No, I honestly, we've had many conversations offline about Feet Finder. And like you have inspired me to go to Feet Finder and start setting up an account. I haven't gotten to actually set it up, but I'm like, if I could make a couple extra $1,000 a month showing my feet,
yeah.
I honestly, I don't knock it.
Should I? I mean, this is so not me. So I'm like, you guys are really into this. I'm like, I want to do something else.
One of us just needs to take the plunge and do it.
And then
when we start seeing the money roll in,
no, you
then
guys,
everyone else.
Once you start making dough on Feet Finder, I'm already signing up.
Then we can do like a group and we can do group shots with all of our feet. Like
And they're all different.
Like touching each other.
I mean, Jared's are all freckly and his toes are all fucked up. I have nice black toenails. I don't know.
Matt has really nice
feet. I feel like you have soft feet.
He has feet just like, look at his hands. Like these George Costanza hands.
Yeah.
Look at his hands compared to mine. He's not like a sun damage.
I get
show
pedicures.
Your hand to Jacqueline.
What?
There's
wrong?
No blue collar work
just the
done
kindest,
on these hands.
Which is crazy.
Your most beautiful milky hands. Not a single wrinkle.
These are out in the sun. I do dangerous work.
But there's no scars.
You don't
on do them. Dangerous. You take care of yourself.
Not anymore. I did construction for years.
Mm. Those hands don't look like they've done construction.
Yeah. but
at all.
So my feet are better than I think.
He has really nice feet. I hide mine next to his.
Man, I'm like, man should get pedicures. Man got gnarly feet.
I invited you to go tomorrow, and you said you're busy this week.
Busy, got a job.
Okay. I'll go with you.
Okay, great.
I just got one. I need another one. Okay. Anyways, footless? No, not footless. No shoes. Shoeless. Shoeless feet anywhere, not but the beach. Sorry, Taylor. That was a really long on the stand. Guilty.
Guilty.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
Okay. Wow.
I don't think I support it, but like some places are just sort of hippie vibes, and like I don't know.
Name one.
Okay, let's set the parameters.
I'm not into literally this. Name I one. Hide my feet. I literally was barefoot, and I put socks on because you guys were here. Like I would never do this. Okay, guilty. Fine.
Yeah, but I just want to. We're not paying subscribers. Obviously, you're gonna censor the toes.
That's true. So. That's
no,
worth money.
Honestly, feet equal money.
Yeah.
Don't be showing those tootsies off
not
for free.
Not for free.
Not for free.
Okay, yeah, guilty, guilty.
Never in a restaurant. Never.
No.
No.
Vile.
All right, Matt.
Okay, since we're talking about trains and cars.
And feet.
And feet. I guess that's related.
Trains and feet.
I guess my on stand that I'm putting to y'all today is cars in general.
Okay.
I think that we need to stop building our cities with automobiles in mind.
Okay.
I think that we are
You're
too,
a good person.
I think that we're too...
Way too good. I'm driving my gas-guzzling Jeep.
Honestly, he pitched this to me 2 days ago. And I was like, nah.
I went on a tirade.
I like shot it down. I shot it down then. Like,
we were trying to find parking.
Back. He's back.
We were trying
I
to
shot
find
it
parking,
down then.
And I was like, why the fuck?
Can I swear?
Yes.
Yeah.
I no. don't know. I don't know if I can swear. Anyways,
fuck you.
I'm just like, why?
I like how he goes, why the fuck?
Yeah.
I just was frustrated because we could not find parking. And I was like, it's so dumb the way that we build cities around cars. And we've only had cars for like realistically, like what? Like 100, let's just say, years or so.
Horse and buggy, yeah.
Like we think about the nicest neighborhoods and places you've been. You just got back from Europe.
Yeah.
Like in the nicer places, how many cars were there really? Versus some of the not so nice places. Like here in LA, I got family that lives in South Central.
Yeah.
Cars everywhere. They're even parked in red zones. You have to park. Now think about Beverly Hills.
Babe, we want the real arguments for why there should be no cars.
We need to eliminate cars and shift towards public transit like trains.
Matthew is a very good person. Yeah. He's here for the real
Europe has it figured out. China has it figured out. Japan has it figured out.
No, but LA, we live in the one big city that is
There's no infrastructure.
I agree. And that is Ford and GM's problem in the 1930s. They came to LA and they tore up all the train tracks that we had. You ever drive around LA and you see those train tracks are like paved over?
No.
And they just don't kind of really go anywhere. This used to be a train city, and the auto manufacturers came to LA and they were like, rip all that shit out. You're going to be a car city. And then we start developing and building the city with that in mind.
But thank God for during COVID, at least we could all be separate. Like I'm trying to find a silver lining.
But during COVID, everyone talked because all the restaurants went out into the streets and built like little stands and stuff, and nobody could park on the street. And everyone was like, oh, this is so European. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we go back that direction?
Listen, I think everybody agrees with you. And I think there
no,
are plans.
I would fucking love if LA was a public transit town, city. I would love it.
Yeah.
It's just so big. It's too big.
We hate driving around. We hate having like to get Uber.
LA's
to
notorious for traffic.
Yeah, well,
think
obviously.
About the, aside from the, obviously, like, pollution, because we have days that you can see downtown, and you just look at the sky, and you're like,
yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Well, babe, obviously, I mean, the whole world should be evolving away from cars.
But it seems like the rest of the world has figured this out.
No. Our country hasn't.
Europe has.
Has Mexico? Has
Canada? You can go anywhere in Europe on a train.
But Europe is old.
I know.
But have other countries?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm going to say cars are guilty because I think we all know that they're bad.
Right.
But like, what can you do? I need my car.
Like, and it's LA. We don't have any public transit. We can't actually like do that.
I love my car. I like driving with the AC on full blast.
Okay.
Listening
this
to
also
music
comes
that
from
I
the man.
Listen to.
This comes from the man with two cars, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, I know. I have two
You're
vehicles.
You're doubly guilty of your own sin.
One of which is a 66
Camino. We don't have to get into that. The point is that you have two cars and we have one. And you're putting cars on the stand.
The gas guzzler I do have.
In summation, I would say we need to stop giving Elon Musk money for tunnels that don't go anywhere. That's really what I'm getting at.
I mean, oh my God. There are worse billionaires out there.
Yeah, there are. Good job, babe. I think guilty.
I'll say guilty, but I need my car.
Me too.
It's not an overnight thing.
Asterisk.
It's a transition period.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, now we have.
Now we're going to get into some famous fucking outlaws. And Matt has a lot to say, I think.
Picture this. You're on a John Deere compact tractor, enjoying the sun as you clear brush across your pasture. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
What do 8 bags of concrete mix, a cooler full of 30-pound sea bass, and a 10-inch compound miter saw have in common? They're all things that are easier to load in and out of the bed of the new F-150. Thanks to its new available Pro-Access tailgate that's also a swing gate. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150.
Available starting early 2024. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. Cargo and load capacity limited by weight and weight distribution.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome to True Crime Rewind. We are going to learn about some of the most famous outlaws from the Wild Wild West. I think just
the Wild West.
I think just Will Smith calls it the Wild Wild West.
Welcome to the West.
Maybe that's
it's the Wild Wild West.
It's one of those effects where we all think it's Wild Wild West. It's just Wild it's West.
The Mandela effect.
Mandela effect. There we go.
I was telling Alexis. I talked about this in a recent Killing Time episode.
Did you listen to that, Matt?
I did.
That's probably why. He listens to Killing Time, but not First Degree.
That's okay.
Well, but that's probably most people, I think, our listeners, either like one or the other is their favorite.
That's what I wish that we could kind of promote Killing Time to people that don't like true crime.
How do we do that?
It's like, hey, you person that doesn't want to hear about murder, come listen to us.
To
just
our other
fuck around.
Show.
Yeah.
No, I also think people learn a lot from Killing Time, too, though.
That's why I try to make it a little bit informative.
It is.
I like learning something new every week, and I think it's fun.
There's honestly, there's social issues, there's education,
yeah.
And there's art in the form of poetry.
Can I say, as a listener, you both do a very good job, because I know how hard Alexis works on the outlines. For the normal episode.
Yeah.
And you do. And she's up late at night.
I mean,
working
unbelievable.
Very
thanks,
diligently.
Pumpkin. You're so sweet.
And then when we're doing Killing Time, I know that you work on your outlines and you have stuff prepared and you're so good at that.
Thank you.
And about transitioning and like handling different guests and stuff like that. So
both
the
Jack's
two of y'all
very good. We're good in our lanes.
Yeah.
We know our lanes.
Yeah.
And it's where Jack thrives. I think it's so fun because Jack is like Jack's probably my smartest friend, to be honest. And it's like, but you really do lead this episode and you decide creatively what we're doing and you do such a good job.
Thank you. Okay. Well,
y'all compliment each other very well.
Thank you, Matt. Ugh, love you.
This is good vibes.
Okay. So let's jump into our first outlaw, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Do we know anything about these two guys?
I mean, just only through growing up in the South, but.
Well, what did you learn? It's okay if it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Same. I mean, I think we all know the names.
I don't know. No.
We know the names. Everybody we don't know that much about them.
I know every single name on this list, but I didn't know much about them, like, in general as people. I just love, also, I'm including pictures of these people. I'm going to show them to you just because I feel like a visual is good to have.
I love a derby hat.
Yeah, yeah. A derby hat. There, some of these guys look very... Very
bizarre.
Is
very like Great Gatsby adjacent vibes. It's like early, what is this, like the late 1800s?
Yeah, the 1800s.
Yeah, so you can see it like how the 20s sort of,
I don't know,
it's
how
40
they,
years later.
They dress like that. It must have been hot,
hot as
shit.
Hot as balls.
Dusty,
and yet,
disgusting.
And yet the drip does not stop.
Dude,
off
they
these
look
gentlemen.
Like, fuck, no. They look like fucking gentlemen extraordinaires. I'm like, how do you look so dapper?
But I mean, also like
everything
gangsters.
Is also everything is shot in sepia, so like,
which makes them look amazing,
right? It's like a sexy Polaroid every photo. So I think we'd all look good that good too.
It, sure. Honestly, it's like the catfishing. Like we said, we did the episode about catfishing in the Renaissance. It kind of just keeps on going throughout time because a sepia is really like the ultimate Paris filter. But it's like the there's this new trend where this Bryant guy is a photographer. He's doing like a photo booth in LA and like all the influencers are trying to get to it because it's like these beautiful photos. But now everybody is trying to like use the effect on their TikToks to make them look gorgeous.
Sure.
It's like the same thing.
Can I have a complaint as somebody who does photography professionally?
Yeah.
If I shoot something and I see you post it and you slapped a couple filters on it, I'm going to fucking scream.
Well,
because like we spend hours,
get used to it.
We spend hours editing it on a computer.
Well, get over it.
I mean, I
agree. It's so frustrating.
People are gonna do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Unfortunately,
you can do.
It's like once you go over to that Paris filter, you're like, it does look a little bit better when it's smoothed out.
I'm sorry. As a result of social media, everyone has a little bit of like dysmorphia.
Everything does, for sure.
So it's like I don't. Try, you know,
everything's edited. It's all bullshit.
Everyone's trying their best.
We're just not using face morphing filters.
Yes.
Only maybe a Paris smoother. If you're having a little acne-filled day, like
I'm telling
I
you right
sometimes.
Now, I never have posted anything without using the Paris filter. Like it's because it's it's just like me with a little more sleep.
Exactly,
it's me with like a little more sleep. Yeah, that's literally like I used to filter the shit out of stuff. I used to edit stuff. I had really low self-esteem years ago, and I'm trying to be better. But Paris filter, I don't think I can ever let it go.
As long as you're not changing the shape of things.
Yeah.
That specifically is kind of what I did. A client like shot her, and she warped her figure so bad the background started warping, and then she tagged me as a photographer.
No.
I was like, oh, that is not my work.
No, this is
not representative of what I do.
Oh, that's really bad.
Yeah,
that
shit
really
irritates
fucking
me.
But people feel bad about themselves. I sort of get it. Like it's not great.
Doing that's going to make you feel worse about yourself.
I agree.
That is like the lesson that I've learned. It's like once I started letting go of that and trying to not like cling so hard to making myself look perfect all the time, like that you're only doing yourself a disservice.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
But back in the day.
Back to Butch Cassidy. Okay. So Butch Cassidy and his well-known associate, the Sundance Kid, they gained a quick reputation for their bank robberies. They're stealing horses. They're doing train robberies. They're really doing it all. And they had the Wild Bunch. That was their gang. It was full of all these different characters, and the law enforcement was like always on their trail. So eventually the two guys fled the country, and they fled with one of Longbaugh.
I think they went to Mexico. Is that right?
Yeah. So Sundance Kid's romantic partner was named Etta Place. They went to Argentina, to Bolivia, and that is where they were finally thought to be brought down by the Bolivian army. But then it was like one of those things. It's like, did they get brought down by the Bolivian army? Did they actually like evade capture and go somewhere else? It's back in the day. Like you can't actually like tell when anybody died.
Honestly, they could be alive still.
What?
Like anything's possible.
Well, it's like the whole, I mean, it's a conspiracy
record
theory.
Record keeping wasn't great, especially if you're another country.
No.
Here's what, I mean, again, this is all just stuff that we hear as kids growing up in the South, is that the Bolivian army story is that they like were in cahoots with them to be like, hey, pretend like you guys captured us so that people stop looking for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like a whole ruse.
Dun, dun, dun. A red herring.
What are you doing with those socks?
Putting them on.
Oh my God. Ew.
Blur those puppies.
I don't want to watch you putting socks on. Okay.
Look away.
Okay. So our next outlaw is Billy the Kid. Everybody knows, has heard of Billy the Kid, but he ended up killing, allegedly, 21 people by the time he died at the age of 21. That he was killed at 21 years old, but he was just known as this like infamous outlaw back in the day. And so the whole story about him is this guy named Pat Garrett. He was like a law enforcement guy. He was always on Billy the Kid's trail. And he eventually killed him. He shot in the back when he was 21 years old. And over the years, there's all the speculation that he shot Billy the Kid with no witnesses. So allegedly, it was another one of those stories where it was like maybe he let them got away. They had like a little friendship going on. And then maybe Billy went to Bolivia or Argentina back with the other guys.
Yeah, hooked up with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. But he was like, his whole thing is he turned to crime when he was younger because he had a really bad childhood. And then he was known for killing 21 people by the time he was 21 years old.
There's a Marty Robbins. Do you know who Marty Robbins is?
No.
It's like old country singer. And it's all about like gunslinger ballads. It's one of his most popular songs, Big Iron, is about Billy the Kid. And when he met that sheriff and he was like, I got 20 notches in my belt and you're going to make 21. And so that is the end of the story of Billy the Kid. But again, no witnesses. Who knows what happened?
Ooh, I love lore.
Yes, I do too.
I know
this is a weird corner of knowledge and information for me.
I know. I love
it. It's working. It's translating.
Okay, so the next guy is Jesse James. I'm going to show you guys his picture too because he looks very current to me.
I know guys who look like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Proper gentleman. What a clean. He's got like a fade.
Like, it's funny that this guy is so, I mean, he's definitely a sociopath.
He's naughty.
But like, he's not, he looks like he's more of like a Christian Grey kind of a vibe.
He looks like he's going door to door to solicit religion
was
to
it,
people.
Yeah,
it looks, and he looks like a gangster.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt was, I think, a little overshooting his looks because he was cast as...
Jesse James?
Jesse James.
In what movie?
Yeah.
The Death of Jesse James?
I've never seen it. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, me neither.
Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to see that.
So he was from Missouri. Missouri. And he gained a quick reputation in the outlaw community as the leader of his own gang. Everybody had their own gang. They had their own thing. His was called the James Younger Gang. And joined by his brother, Frank James, Cole Younger, and more eager criminals, Jesse led train, stagecoach, and bank robberies throughout the Midwest. He was like one of the most well-known guys. And a few years later, he put together a new posse because his other one failed. So like sometimes these gangs don't work out. And then you got to like make a new one.
They're probably like cults. Like sometimes the cults just, they catch on.
And honestly, like everybody's trying to be the leader. And when you got like two guys, they're all like a little bit crazy. They're all trying to take over the world, I guess, in their own little minds. So he had his new gang, and then his new gang included this guy named Robert Ford, who would eventually turn on Jesse and ultimately shoot him in the back. So like, shit doesn't last that long.
No, people want power. People want your power. Honestly, it's very like, what is it? Brutus and Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
I think if you crave power, that's your inevitable downfall.
It's your Achilles heel.
It's gonna be power
for sure.
Somebody else wants it worse than you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hope it's worth it.
Okay.
Honestly, who wants it? It sounds awful.
I want no power.
I want all the money and no power.
I want money.
Yeah, give me money
silently
and I just disappear. No power.
Hire me.
People.
But I don't want the power.
Okay, so our last outlaw is a woman.
I love that.
Not many women outlaws back in the day. This woman's name was Belle Starr. I'll show you a little picture.
Oh my gosh, I love her vibe.
She was a badass.
Is she holding a pistol?
Yes, she is.
Love her.
We had a ranch dog in Texas we named after her.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it.
She's a bad bitch.
Okay, so she was known as the Queen of the Oklahoma Outlaws, and she gained a reputation after her violent death was covered by the National Police Gazette. Unfortunately, you know, she's like an artist. Like, she's only famous when she died, which sucks. And so she settled down with her first husband, a guy named James Reed, in Texas. And then she got involved with all this illegal activity and some of her friends from the James Younger game. Same thing as the Jesse James's bullshit from before.
Sure. So she's all roped in with them.
She's roped in with all those guys. After her husband dies, she marries a Native American man named Sam Starr. Great name.
Great name.
And they continued their illegal exploits, including bootlegging and horse thievery. And they were arrested and both served time before getting released again. And then, of course, they go back and do all their stuff again. So she was mysteriously murdered at the age of 41 when she got ambushed on her horse and suffered multiple shot wounds. Again, no witnesses, no murder convictions to explain what happened. So today, to this day, it's still an unsolved death, but she was like one of the most famous woman outlaws.
I love that.
And honestly, Belle Starr, great name.
God.
She went out the same way that the lady who invented drive-by shootings in like South America, I think. She got killed by a drive-by shooting.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she like went to, I think her like street name was like, she was like the Black Widow.
But can you do a drive-by on a horse?
Yeah.
Her husband also died. Their stories are so similar.
Ooh.
Yes, and so she kind of took over like her husband's like men, and then she was like, yeah, I'm going to run this shit. Damn, I'm forgetting her name.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, she went the same way. She got
interesting.
She got gunned down.
History repeats itself.
Sure does.
All right, well, that is the most famous outlaws that I wanted to tell you about today.
Love that. Some good job.
They all did bad things, but we're going to hear all the bad things that you people have done next.
Whatever job you need to do out there, grab the right tool to get it done. The new F-150 with an available hybrid engine and up to 7.2 kilowatts of pro power on board to power things on the go. It's not a tool you'll hang in a tool shed, but you can certainly use it to build one. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150.
Available starting early 2024. Optional features, the owner's manual for important operating instructions.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. It's time for a reckoning of the worst things that you've ever done. So this is your second favorite segment here on The First Degree, and we're here to rivet you as normal. So Matt's here, and as the picture of moral compass, I implore you to impress him with your deeds. I will find a silver lining. I'm not sure about him.
I think I'm fair.
We'll see.
I judge not.
You judge not lest you be judged.
That's,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So on to the first one.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to call and tell you the worst thing I've ever done. Well, maybe one of the worst things. Love the podcast. Phoenix native over here, so can't wait for you guys to come do a live show here. That would be great. Anyway, so worst thing that I ever did. So when I was in high school, I dated the same guy for a really long time. And within a couple weeks of me deciding to lose my virginity to him, he broke up with me and started dating this other girl who was actually a friend of mine. So one day I was getting ready. I was a cheerleader in high school, so I was getting ready for a basketball game in the girls' locker room, and we had to cheer for girls' basketball, and the girl that he had dumped me for was a basketball player. And I had gone to the bathroom and had come out, and I saw this girl and her friend going through my bag, and then I asked them to leave. They left, and as I closed the curtain to get ready, they were talking about how she had sex with my ex and how his mom loved her so much and how his little brother and sister loved her so much, which hit me hard because I babysat his little brother and sister the whole time we were together. She said a lot of other things, and it was very graphic about the things that they had done together, essentially just saying all of this because she knew that I was right there behind the curtain getting ready. So after I heard this, I had heard that her and her ex-boyfriend were trying to get back together, and I knew that he had an interest in me because I was friends with one of his close friends. So I called her ex-boyfriend, and her ex-boyfriend and I ended up getting together, and it was kind of like the ultimate revenge for both of us because we ended up dating and then they had to watch us be together. So it was a perfect form of revenge. It did not last long for us because, really, the only reason that we were together was to make them mad.
Okay, it's so nice that you feel bad about this, but what I have to say is that everyone needs to know this. If you fucking crush somebody, if you hurt somebody, if you break somebody's heart, you open yourself up. Whatever they do is kind of okay.
Yep.
If you blindside someone,
yep,
and you hurt someone, whatever they do to heal is kind of on you. And or you at least can't be mad, right? Like, that's truly how I feel. If somebody's like all in and you devastate them, you can't be mad about what they do to get over you.
I mean, honestly, this is the least that you could have done.
You did
feel
good.
Like, it's the low-hanging fruit of what you do.
It's the expected response.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I have also done this. I'm sure you have done this in a sense. Like, many women have done this. I, like, went out once my ex, like, destroyed me. I was like, huh. Which one of his, well, it wasn't the same thing, but I was like, which one of his friends can I hook up with? Not because I want to, but just because, like, I have to.
I want to piss him off.
Yeah. Like, inadvertently. But, like, that's just, I think, where our mind goes to. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing to do. Honestly, you're heartbroken. You were heartbroken. And you were pissed off. And, you know, if you didn't get fucked over, you wouldn't have to do that.
That's right. Matt, anything?
No judgment.
No
again,
judgment.
Again, she was young. Expect the response.
Yeah, but also
if somebody else is going to start.
The new girlfriend, there was no reason to do that in front of you. That was so mean. Spirited.
So mean.
So it's just like, I kind of get it.
Yeah. And again, was she like in high school when this happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like we all did, you know, regrettable shit.
Oh, I did so much worse than
if
you.
This is the worst thing you've ever done.
You're
a
good person.
A saint. We love you.
You and Matt should start your own podcast. Good People's Anonymous. Okay. So this is our next one. And we're super excited to say that I went way back in the voicemails. Because I'm telling you, as like an ADD person, I only pick like what's at the top because I'm so busy and frantic.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, we were getting like hundreds and hundreds of calls. So I've been going back to like 2021 and finding some that we kind of slipped through the cracks. This is one of those. So you people, if you've lost hope that we're going to play your worstie, it could happen. So let's get right into this.
So I don't know if it's the worst thing I've ever done. I think it's definitely the stupidest. I used to work for a national bank, a big one, when I was in my 20s. And my husband at the time, ex-husband now, he was very needy and very clingy. And he would always text me, when are you coming home? What time are you going to be home? What are you doing now? What are you doing now? And I thought, like, all my friends at work are going out to eat. My boss invited us out. I'm like, oh, this is my chance. Like, I could tell my boss didn't like me, and I didn't like him. So I was like, all right, we're going to go out to eat. I'm like, I'm going to get to know this guy better. It's going to work out. But how do I get rid of my husband because he's forever texting me? If I tell him I'm going out with my work friends, he's going to be jealous and feel salty. Then I have to listen to that. So stupid me, I lied. I told him one of the bank tellers made a mistake and we have to have a meeting about it because it's a big problem and it's going to be a really late meeting and I'll call you when I'm on my way home. He claims he never got the text. I think he did. So I put my phone on silent. I went to dinner. We had pizza. Everybody had an awesome time. I ignored my phone. On the way back, I got a phone call from the bank, our assistant manager, saying that the police were called because my husband told his parents that he hadn't heard from me, and they were afraid that maybe I had been kidnapped. Of all people, why would they think I would be kidnapped? I don't know. But they called the police. When we pulled up back to the branch, there were cops everywhere. My in-laws were there. They screamed at me and basically told me off in front of my coworkers and my boss. very shortly after this, I was transferred to another location. But until that happened, basically I was the butt of every joke. Hey, do you guys want to have pizza for lunch? I don't know. We should ask her in-law first. It was really stupid. One stupid tiny lie created a bunch of police drawing their guns and flashlights on my coworkers and boss. That's all I got. But yeah, that was terrible.
Okay. thank you so much for calling. And I think you referenced that this is your ex. And I think that's really good because the behavior is super controlling. And it's actually behavior we've heard in some of our first degree episodes. The episode that actually comes to my mind is the Ryan Stroop. It was the Tina Goad episode where our first degree was in this very abusive relationship. And every time they would get into a fight that was his fault, he would involve the parents. Mm. But then...
What?
But in very like Gabby Petito fashion would be very composed and paint the other person to look crazy. And that's kind of exactly what he's done. Mm. You know, I can't imagine a healthy relationship where you feel like you have to lie to be like, I really want to get in good with my coworkers. Like, so we're going to go to pizza. Like the most innocent thing, like you should be able to tell your partner that without them calling the police, frankly.
Well, obviously the relationship was very controlling.
Yeah.
It was maybe a little bit of like a narcissistic, I don't know, maybe like slightly sociopathic, something going on where you felt so uncomfortable of doing a basic thing of just hanging out with your coworkers. Like you're not trying to do anything sketchy. And for your ex-husband to go to such ultimate lengths.
To involve family and police.
And honestly, that sets a precedent for you to be like, well, if you do this again, like, I'm going to call the police again and you're going to get in trouble. And it's like, now you're scared to do anything at all. Well,
and you get shamed. Like, that's to involve, like, in-laws and parents, it's very shamey and, like, poisons the well and really creates a really toxic dynamic. So I think I hope you know that. And I don't think you did a bad thing. I think you were afraid to be honest because this person is really... difficult.
The sort of, like... when are you going to be home kind of stuff, like that is very controlling.
Yeah.
And if your hesitation just out the gate is like, I cannot be honest with my partner.
Yeah.
Big flag.
Well, you're in for it. And it's like, listen, we have our lives and we have our partnerships and our personal lives. But like after that comes our own identities. And a lot of that is career. Yeah, it has to be a priority.
Yeah. You should be allowed to be, you know,
go out to pizza with your coworkers.
Honestly, you should be able to go out with your friends and go out and have a fucking good time. Like, and that's where it's like the coworkers is the most innocuous thing because it's your work, it's your career, it's like your profession. You should also be able to have fun, you know?
You should be able to go out with your friends without explaining yourself too. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're looking at this retrospectively.
Yes.
And you know, like, I think you know the situation, like being objective about it. So glad you're on the other side. We love you.
And thank you for calling.
Yeah.
You did anything wrong.
You didn't. You're not the worst. You're the best. They're the worst. Your ex is the worst.
What did they do wrong? They didn't tell the truth?
They're perfect.
They couldn't tell the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Perfection.
So
on to Alexis has
written poems.
Written a poem. She wants to impress Matt.
Yes, so my inspiration has returned. This is called George Train Poem, is what I have here.
George Train Poem. Uh-huh. Okay.
George doesn't like trains for several reasons. His train hatred persists right through all the seasons. Mm. He hates being near strangers, and he hates unforeseen dangers. Naturally. He hates when big dogs are carried in bags.
Okay.
He hates tardiness when the train schedule lags. But what he hates about trains most of all are train bathrooms, which makes him appalled.
Okay. All right.
I thought you were going to say something about like only one stall or like,
oh,
that's
my God. Well, I could have.
It's okay, but yours is better. But that's where my mind was originally going.
Maybe we should collaborate on these.
I'm not against it.
Do you think?
I'll say George is obviously a car guy. His most pivotal moments are when he's behind the wheel.
Well, he thought he bought whose car? John Voight's car.
John Voight.
Oh my God. Yeah, he is a car guy.
Bye, guys.
Bye, friends.
What do 8 bags of concrete mix, a cooler full of 30-pound sea bass, and a 10-inch compound miter saw have in common? They're all things that are easier to load in and out of the bed of the new F-150. thanks to its new available Pro-Access tailgate that's also a swing gate. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150.
Available starting early 2024. Pro-Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. Cargo and load capacity limited by weight and weight distribution.